number six, please.
Item number six is from the Public Policy Forum, presenting a research brief entitled Milwaukee County Detained Populations at Historic Lows. Why is it happening and what does it mean? This item is informational only unless otherwise directed by the committee.
Good morning, Mr. Hankin and Ms. Allen.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Rob Hankin, president of the Public Policy Forum. To my right is Ms. Allen, a fact researcher. Thank you for the opportunity. I know you already had a long meeting and we have several items in closed session, so we will be brief. But again, appreciate the opportunity to very briefly go over a report that the forum released in June. Let me caution you, the report again was released in June. It was researched in April and May, so clearly there is now more data out there that is not encompassed in this report. Our understanding and talking to various officials is that the trends that we observed in June have continued. Again, I just wanted to caution you that what we're talking about is really based on April and May types of data. What I'd like to do is just very briefly point you to a couple of the key charts and graphs in the research brief that you have before you. There are some official copies that I put on the table for members of the audience if they're interested. Starting with page one, I think chart one really says it all. And let me say that we were alerted to the fact, both in terms of reviewing your budgets and things that we were hearing and seeing, that the corrections populations were going down, and going down in a way that few people had witnessed, at least in recent history. So we thought that it would be a good idea to try to quantify that, that we could actually show to policymakers and the public what was happening, and to also do some fiscal analysis in an effort to try to explain what does it mean and perhaps suggest some policy options going forward. I think we were even surprised at the extent to which these numbers had dropped between 2008 and 2010. What you see, the red line is the juvenile population. What we did was we lumped together both the average daily population at the county's own juvenile detention facility plus the number of delinquent youth, Milwaukee County youth, that were being housed in state juvenile corrections institutions. So that is the red line on chart one. You can see average daily population in the 360s in 07 and 08 down to 257 in 2010. And again, our understanding is even quite a bit lower than that so far in 2011. Looking at the adult population, that is the combined population between the two correction facilities, north and south. And here too, you can see particularly between 2008 and 2010, a major drop-off in the average daily population. We'll get to programmatic impacts and questions in a second, but I just wanted to now hone in very briefly on the fiscal side. As you know, the Public Policy Forum does a lot of work on the fiscal side. Both Ms. Allen and I are approaching this primarily as fiscal analysts, and I don't want to downplay the programmatic issues. The key question, particularly in my mind for this committee, is what's the public safety impact of all of this.
Right.
But again, we thought it would be very useful to just point to some of the fiscal impacts, which I think are rather significant. Table 2 on page 3 of the brief shows you the tax levy expenditures in the county's delinquency and court services division. Between 2008 and 2010, a drop-off of about $7 million. You can see we've broken those down between the JCI expenditures and the detention facility expenditures. The fact that the detention facility expenditures have gone up a little bit is really somewhat, or in fact significantly, skewed by the way that the county allocates the pension and health care costs. Bottom line is you are spending a lot less in that particular division of county government. I would also point out that your JCI expenditures have plummeted while the rates have continued to go up. You know that story very well. But again, even more meaningful that you're paying more per day to the state, yet the savings here are rather significant. And these are actual expenditures, by the way. So really where this manifested itself was in a significant surplus in this division year-end 2010. Again, our understanding that this division is surplusing by a pretty healthy margin again in 2011. Turning the page to the chart, table 3 on page 4, I think that this was also some interesting information. you know, the situation with the drop in the number of delinquent youth being sentenced and held in the JCIs have received some attention because it is a budgetary item every year. And I know that the division itself often points to the fact that you really need to look not only at the numbers, but also at length of stay. And so is this a reflection on the fact that judges are sentencing fewer delinquent youth to the JCIs, or is it also a reflection of the fact that those who are being sentenced to shorter stays, and or that the State Department of Corrections is making certain decisions so that there are delinquent youth being released without serving their full time and their probation? So a lot of factors swirling around there, but I think what is particularly noteworthy here is that the number of cases across the divisions, the wide variety of programs that we cite in this research brief, it's not just the detainee population that has plummeted, it's the number of delinquent youth that are at any point of the system. From a financial perspective, that's a that's a very interesting and positive development. As many of you who have been on the board for a while know, the JCI population tends to go up and down. Lots of factors can influence that. But I think the fact that there are significantly fewer delinquent youth in the system as a whole certainly would indicate that, that some of these fiscal savings that you've seen in the last couple of years may in fact continue. Turning to the adult population, and you've already had some discussion about this in the meeting so far, I would turn your attention to Table 5 on page 6, which shows expenditures just on the adult detention component of the budget. And by the way, I'd like to thank the staff of the Sheriff's Department and of the Delinquency Court Services Division for working with us so that we could put all of these numbers together. What you see here is that in the Sheriff's budget, we have seen expenditures on detention be reduced by roughly $6 million between 2008 and 2010. We have also seen property tax levy reduced by $4 million. And that's a particularly remarkable number given that, again, this element of the way you're allocating your legacy costs, the fringe benefit budget for the sheriff, despite all of these other positives, went up by about $5.6 million in 2010. So had it not been for this increase in pension and retiree health care, these savings, I think, would have been even more remarkable. So there's lots of money that is being saved right now. Key question for you as policymakers, of course, is this on the radar screen? Is this something that's the beginning of a trend that is going to continue? We also have urged you in this report to take it to one other level, which is what might you be able to do to sustain it? To the extent that you would believe that this is a desirable outcome that is going on, are there things that you might be able to do in terms of reinvesting at least a portion of these savings, and that could be either for enhanced law enforcement types of strategies or, of course, other programs and services that are designed to serve as alternatives to incarceration. But what might you to do in your decision-making processes and in your budget processes to potentially allow this to continue? I would note that there may be some who believe this is not necessarily a desirable trend and a desirable set of outcomes from a public safety perspective. That the fact that we are sending fewer people into the jail and the House of Correction and the juvenile facilities may be having impacts out in the community that so far have not shown up in terms of other departmental budgets in other places, etc. So we are not here to say to you that this is an imperative, but we are here to say to you, potentially given the very, very significant budget challenges that you face, that this is extremely noteworthy and is extremely meritorious of further information and discussion as to why this is occurring and what you might be able to do to be able to continue to occur. And I guess I'll close by just turning then to the end of the report, the conclusion section, where, again, the first paragraph of that section essentially restates what I just said. While we cannot be certain why detention populations are declining, we do know that the fiscal benefits to Milwaukee County are real. I would add that the fiscal issues, negative issues that would be caused if this would suddenly go the other way on you, obviously those would be very real as well. All of that begs the question as to whether maintaining and even accelerating the trend of lower detention populations is desirable, and if it is, whether additional strategies and investments are required to keep up the momentum. We suggest three different things that we're putting to you as food for thought that you might pursue. One is clearly a need to step up efforts to collect, analyze, and disseminate data regarding the effectiveness of diversion, deferred prosecution, and alternatives programming in reducing recidivism and enhancing public safety. We speculate in this brief as to why some of this may occur. Obviously, there's been a lot of hard work done by people behind me to implement new programs such as TAD and other in terms of the district attorney's office and increased use of deferred prosecution agreements. There's been a lot of hard work to try to look at the corrections population and make determinations as to whether there are individuals who are just sitting in jail cells awaiting the resources to pay their bail or awaiting a decision to lower their bail who perhaps just could be diverted right away. Other strategies obviously have been implemented, and the Community Justice Council has done a lot of hard work in this regard. There is a need, however, for hard data as to what are the impacts of these programs, and indeed, there's a fiscal element to this, but there are other elements that is paramount for this committee and for the law enforcement officials of this county is, are our streets safer, and is public safety being enhanced or not being enhanced by some of these programs? Better data collection would help. That can be costly. That's a resource issue. That's a big problem. But the fantastic news is that the chief judge and district attorney and others working on the evidence-based decision-making initiative recently did get selected by the federal government for phase two. So as part of that whole initiative, there is a phase three. But there is a whole data collection element to that project. So I think actually in the 3 months since we made this recommendation, a lot of progress has already been made on that one. Our second is that in our minds, this is precisely the type of broad policy deliberation that this county board and in particular this committee ought to be engaged in. That as we have observed Community Justice Council efforts in Waukesha County, for example, that monitoring the jail population and talking about it a few times a year and trying to figure out what's really going on is a key element. And so, to the extent that there should be an entity that is really charged with trying to figure all of this out and how it might be sustained, we feel that this very committee is the logical entity to be doing that. Finally, we suggested that there is a need for public input. I think there's a lot of anecdotal information that we hear. I think even data is not going to give you as clear a picture as you might need as to whether citizens out there on the streets of Milwaukee and Milwaukee County are feeling safer. The SOAP Forum actually recently did some survey work on that question. Our survey results showed us that despite the very real drop in the crime rate in this community, the perception of citizens is not necessarily that their streets are safer. It's not that things are getting worse, but one would have expected perhaps that perceptions would have matched the very significant decline in crime rate. Our survey work found that's not happening. Another opportunity to gain public input would be through the Community Justice Council, which does hold public meetings once a month, and so we had suggested that the council may want to take on this issue of trying to get more input from the public as to what they feel about various alternatives to incarceration and whether they would be supportive of potential expansion of enhancing health. So I will stop there. Ms. Allen and I would be happy to answer the questions you might have.
Supervisor Robert.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess what I'm lacking in some sense here is context. We had during the 90s, I think, an excessive emphasis on incarceration. And have we reached some high watermark from which we are now returning to reason in terms of our societal attitudes towards locking them all up being an effective measure to begin to deal with societal ills? That always seems for me to underlie these kinds of snapshots that are being taken. And I, for one, attach immeasurable importance to the efforts that are being made by the DA, by the court system, to minimize costs. But are we seeing this in a context that was these drops that were an expression of some overemphasis on those kinds of aggressive enforcement efforts?
Supervisor, Mr. Chairman, what I might offer in response is that I think whatever is the answer to that question, Supervisor, what we are seeing from the most red states to the most blue states across the country is much more scrutiny on correction spending. The fiscal paradigm that we are all living in has required a reexamination of these policies. We cannot say to you whether we were overzealous in terms of locking people up in the 90s and perhaps now underzealous today. But what we can say to you is that you are not alone in seeing declining corrections populations, and that there are actually many places that are even further out front in terms of actively analyzing who is in their corrections facilities at any point in time and developing strategies and plans for certain types of people under detention to perhaps be diverted into alternatives.
Thank you.
Any other responses, questions? Ms. Lyday, have you read the second recommendation or consideration on page 11?
Yes, we've gone through this report and a couple of the recommendations that are contained in here we're following up on, particularly the one regarding recidivism, looking at doing some partnership to take a look at that. We're also increasing some efforts with the Milwaukee Police Department regarding sharing information. I think you've seen some, you know, some information there. And certainly I think one of our concerns now as we move forward is with one of the juvenile state facilities closing, will that have an increased impact on us here in Milwaukee County? So Mr. Moe is actively, I think, looking at the whole recidivism rate. We're also looking at some training and some risk assessment tools. We began some looking and talking with some national experts and bringing them in to have some discussions. So I think we're, familiar with the recommendations and are certainly pursuing them. A couple of them that are retained.
Okay, Mr. Hankin?
I was actually going to provide one last insight on an unrelated subject, so if you want to follow up on that.
No, what I was going to say is, what I'm looking at, and I was on Health and Human Needs for 8 years before I was taken off the committee or moved to another committee. Actually, I had 4 committees and then I went to 3. So. But I'm looking at the second recommendation by which this committee would have responsibility for delivering the effectiveness of the county's alternatives program for both adults and juveniles. That's what I'm looking at. And again, it's a thought. It's something that could be fleshed out, something that could be ignored in the future, whatever the case may be. But that's what I was looking at.
Okay, we can take a look more closely at this, as you know. We primarily have shared a lot of our information with Health and Human Needs Committee, as you said, and a lot of the community-based alternatives that have been established within New England and Court Services have been quite successful, and we think that, you know, they certainly have had contributed to the reduction of a lot of the youth that have been incarcerated. I think we can certainly explore this and have some further discussion on that if the committee would like.
Okay. Thank you very much. Any other comments?
Mr. Chairman, I might make
please
one last point. And I made this having reflected upon your previous discussion today on a variety of issues. one of the things that is happening here, of course, is that there are these significant monetary savings that are sort of being gobbled up into the black hole, which is fiscal situation. And I don't say that derogatorily. What happens in during the course of a fiscal year is that there are various parts of your budget where unexpectedly bad things happen and other parts where unexpectedly good things happen, and it sort of gets all mushed together. And knock on wood, you end up the year about as break even or perhaps a small surplus. I think one of the things we're suggesting here is that there are significant savings we know occurring in these areas, and there may be some imperative to, instead of having all of this just mix in the gobbledygook of the county budget, that some forethought be given to, again, whether some reinvestment of some of these savings might be appropriate in areas that will perpetuate the good news that you're getting.
Such as performance-based budgeting as a process?
Something that, of course, is near and dear to the public policy law.
Did I say that? Performance-based budgeting? Thank you very much, sir. Ms. Allen, would you like to add?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. The last question, I've seen this before. Have other county board members received copies? Everyone's received a copy of this?
We sent it to
everyone.
Mr. Master, we had every
thank you very much.